is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, Great Expectations. Are you struggling to meet your own or others' expectations? We'll help you stop feeling like you're failing. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today our show is titled Great Expectations. As we talk about the times when we are struggling to either meet our own or others' expectations, you know, we can end up feeling like we're never good enough. You're not a good enough parent, not a good enough spouse, not a good enough son or daughter, not a good enough employee, whatever. Other people can sometimes lay expectations on us that seem unfair or overbearing, make us feel like we're jumping through hoops to get their approval constantly. And, you know, as Christians, we all want to be great. Perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect, right? To cooperate with grace, to be able to do all the things and fulfill all our responsibilities perfectly and just be on top of things all the time.
And sometimes we really feel like we have to do that so we can please God, that we can somehow make Him happy. Well, that gets in our head a lot.
That's right. And so, sometimes, you know, we can feel like God's expectations of us are too much. So if you're feeling oppressed by the expectations you have of yourself or that you feel others are placing on you, if you tend to beat up on yourself or feel like you can never be a good enough fill-in-the-blank, if you feel like somebody in your life, whether that's your spouse or your younger or adult child, a parent or a family member or a friend, or even God, makes you feel like you have to jump through hoops to win their love and approval, we want to help you discover grace-filled ways to manage unhealthy expectations. The number again, 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
I think that a lot of us might be thinking, what do you mean I have to manage unhealthy expectations? You know, God does have all these high goals for us. I'm called to be light to the world as a Christian person. I want to be the best that I can be. Why would I manage these expectations? That means I'm going to be less than. That means I'm going to fail. No, it doesn't. That means you're going to be able to sort out what is coming from God and the Holy Spirit, which will always give you hope. It will always point you in a good direction from what Satan's putting in your head, which will always make you feel less than, make you feel dragged down, make you feel like you can't possibly do fill in the blank, whatever that thing is that somebody, whether that's you or somebody else, is expecting from you. They're two very, very different things. And so when we talk about healthy expectations of ourselves from other people, we're talking about lining up our expectations with who God created us uniquely to be.
Well, that's right. And, you know, it's good to have goals. It's good to have aspirations and even to have some expectations of ourselves and others. But when those things become oppressive and we feel like we can't live up to the critic in our head or that person who, you know, is always moving the bar, that's when it starts getting unhealthy. And we want to help you manage all those expectations gracefully.
I have to say, this is something that I have definitely struggled with in my life. I was raised by a mom who was heroic in so many ways, really heroic, but just was the least affirming person out there. I don't think I heard the words, "Hey, good job," till I was like a junior in high school, and it was from somebody who was training me at a job, not from somebody in my family life. And so I've always kind of been raised with this idea that I can't meet anybody's expectations, that I just don't have that in me. And I did a lot of healing work. I did a lot of things to get to a place where I could trust myself, where I could feel good about things. But it can creep in. As I said, it can really, Satan can get into things. And I remember when I was first starting out as a homeschooling mom, if I would read something about, you know, some mom's day in the life, and she was just doing all the things, and everything was so wonderful, and all, I would get in my head that I should also be, you know, raising my own, you know, wheat and grinding it and doing all these other things. And telling myself, or Satan telling me in my head, "You're not measuring up, Lisa. You're not going to be as good a homeschooling mom as your kids deserve." And I really had to take that to God and talk to Greg about it, where he could remind me of my unique gifts instead of, you know, wanting to take on somebody else's. We can all get really, really confused and beaten down in our own minds, or somebody else can really be shoving that onto us. And if you want to have a happier, healthier, holier relationship with expectations, yours or others, give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And we get this feedback from parents who are always struggling to feel like they're good enough, from all of our subscribers on Catholic Home. That's Catholic H-O-M. And, you know, we have conversations there every day, helping parents be more effective Catholic parents and get all the resources that they need to build loving, caring, connected, faithful family lives. Well, tonight we are hosting a webinar called Tempering Tantrums. You know, there's nothing that makes us feel not good enough as a parent, and when we see our kids melting down and being unable to help them. Well, we want to give you the tools you need to help your children manage those tantrums more effectively and help you feel more confident and peaceful in your role as a parent. The webinar is this evening at 8 p.m. Eastern, Tuesday, 1/28 at 8 p.m. Eastern. You can register still at CatholicCounselors.com/tantrums. We hope to see you there this evening and help you get the tools you need to help your kids manage their emotions more effectively and you feel like a more confident, effective parent at CatholicCounselors.com/tantrums. With that, we are taking your calls on our show today titled Great Expectations. And every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through St. John Paul's Theology of the Body.
The theology of the body reminds us of four important things that help us have healthy expectations of ourselves and others. First, we're called to greatness. God is always working in us to help us live more abundant lives and have healthier, holier relationships. Second, we have a right to expect the people who say they love us to be all in when it comes to our relationship. And from the perspective of the theology of the body, saying I love you communicates a promise that you can always count on me to do everything I can do to give you the support you need and help you lead a full and fulfilling life. And third, God gave us bodies, and those bodies have limitations. That's because we were created for communion. We have limitations to remind us that we need others. We're not meant to do everything ourselves. When we hit a limit, we're meant to ask for help. That's how communion is created.
And fourth, the theology of the body reminds us that we can never treat people, including ourselves, as tools, projects, or objects. People deserve to be loved, and our expectations of people have to be ordered toward their or our ultimate good. So in deciding whether an expectation is reasonable, we need to ask, is what I'm expecting healthy and good for this person? Can what I'm expecting be done in a healthy way? And finally, when communicating my expectations, am I willing to make reasonable accommodations that consider the other person's needs? Well, if I can say yes to those questions, my expectations for myself or others are probably reasonable. And if not, I might be needing to make some adjustments. So let's help you make the adjustments you need to make to handle the great expectations you either place on yourself or others pile on you today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the
Father,
the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we want to take your command to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect seriously. But we also know that you don't want us to beat ourselves up for not being perfect, or to be in relationships where we are treated as objects and people make us jump through hoops to win their approval or get them to stop being angry with us. Help us to know how to manage all of our expectations and to not focus so much on pleasing others as we focus on pleasing you and realizing that your expectations, however great for us, are an invitation to become everything we were created to be, not a condemnation that we already aren't. And help us to cooperate with that grace, to continue growing in your grace. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, great expectations. Are you struggling to meet your own or others' expectations? We want to help you stop feeling like you're failing all the time. Let's talk it out, 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Joseph, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ann Arbor on Ave Maria Radio.
Hey, Joseph, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hey, guys. I feel like I'm not meeting God's expectations because I'm an excessive hoarder. This has really devastated virtually most of my life, and I have yet to get a handle on it. And I've tried to go to like such places as the Anxiety and OCD Center of Ann Arbor, and then also Catholic Charities to seek help for therapy. And neither of them will take my my Medicare plus Blue PPO insurance. So I don't know what to do at this point. I'm just trying to find a therapist that will take my coverage.
Okay. And so have, I guess in terms of that, since I know you're in Ann Arbor, we're actually in Ohio, so I'm not sure where to refer you to specifically, but let me just talk a little bit about, the hoarding that you're dealing with, what it is, and offer maybe some suggestions for places that you can look that will accept your coverage. So, hoarding is, as you kind of alluded to, a type of OCD, a type of obsessive compulsive disorder, where I'm afraid to throw anything away because I might need it, and just this fear that I'm going to be caught unawares. A lot of times, it's rooted in growing up, not always, but sometimes growing up in an environment where there was a lot of chaos, where you felt as a child that you needed to be prepared for anything. And the fear that if I let anything go, then I'm not safe. And so in a sense, hoarding becomes this kind of unhealthy way of wrapping a big blanket of stuff around myself so that I can feel safe. And giving that up can be very, very difficult, as you've observed your whole life. And so medication and counseling are both indicated. I would suggest that in terms of looking for help, you look to your local community mental health center. Perhaps you can seek a referral from your pastor. Perhaps he knows of places that you can turn for reduced cost help or places that will accept Medicaid. It is difficult, I understand, but I want to encourage you to keep looking. Like I said, there are community mental health certainly takes Medicaid, your pastor might know some people in your area that can help you there as well. But you definitely need to seek out medication and counseling in order to handle this more effectively. And you can also, this is a little harder, but if you have loved ones in your life, you can also help the, ask them to help you by kind of coming in and helping clear out parts of the house. Now, that's going to be terrifying for you, and it won't work on its own. But at least maintaining some basic order, you know, going through some things, even, you know, 15 minutes a day if you can, and throwing things out or putting them in storage or, you know, organizing it. But that's something that can come when you're getting the appropriate support, but probably not before. So, Joseph, I want to thank you for your desire to heal. I thank you for calling in. I wish I had more specific recommendations in terms of where you could turn for affordable help. But again, I know that Community Mental Health will accept Medicaid, and perhaps your pastor has some ideas for referrals that he can offer you that would offer either Medicaid-accepted help or even free or reduced cost counseling. Check with Catholic Charities as well for your diocese. They might be plugged into some places that can accept Medicaid. And sometimes they offer Catholic Charities in different dioceses does have a counseling program that will accept Medicaid as well. Joseph, thank you so much for the call. We've added you to our More to Life prayer list. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Our show today is titled Great Expectations. As we talk about feeling oppressed by the expectations we place on ourselves or the expectations other people place on us. Either way, we want to help you manage those expectations gracefully. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
Every woman deserves specialized health care. At Arbor Women Health, our team of compassionate professionals listen to our patients and want to understand what they're going through. They serve everyone from teen girls to seniors. Our faith-based clinicians specialize in obstetrics, gynecology, fertility awareness and crisis, or unexpected pregnancies. Call 734-930-4020 or visit arborwomenhealth.org. Arbor Woman, faith-inspired, dignity-affirming healthcare.
Whom does Jesus invite to enter the kingdom of heaven? The Catholic Catechism tells us he invites all to enter. Originally announced to the Israelites, the kingdom is now open to people of every nation. But to enter that kingdom, one must accept Jesus' word. The kingdom belongs to the poor and lowly with whom Jesus identifies. The poor and lowly means those who have accepted the kingdom with humble hearts. To the little ones, the Father is pleased to reveal what is hidden from the wise and the learned. Jesus makes active love toward the poor of every kind a condition for entering the kingdom. Jesus invites sinners into the kingdom and speaks of the joy in heaven over the repentance of just one sinner. Jesus' invitation to the kingdom comes in the form of parables. To enter the kingdom, mere words are not enough, however. Deeds are also demanded. One must give everything. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hello, Rachel Herbeck here with Renal Ministries, and I'm so excited to introduce to you a new show that I'll be hosting called Burning Hearts. We're going to together daily dive into what the Holy Spirit is inspiring us with from the Word of God, really what's burning on our hearts. It's really simple. We're just going to be coming together every day to talk about what is God saying and what are we doing about it.
Burning Hearts with Rachel Herbeck, weekdays at 6:45 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Great Expectations, as we talk about the struggle to meet our own or others' expectations and the tendency to feel oppressed by those expectations we place on ourselves or that others place on us. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Mary Beth, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Hi, Mary Beth. Welcome to More to Life.
Welcome. I'm so happy to talk with you. I wanted to tell you and introduce myself. I am the newly elected president of the Popchak Fan Club.
Oh, Mary Beth. Oh. You're so sweet. Oh, that's so kind.
I love your show. I don't miss it ever. I never miss it. And in fact, I'll set the scene. I always have a notebook and a favorite pen so I don't run out of ink. And I actually write down everything you say.
Oh, mercy. That's a lot of things you have to write down.
It's really good. So I do have a couple of insights that are happy insights I'd love to share that maybe you've not heard or thought of before. But a big part of it is actually you, Lisa. You are more than Batman, or excuse me, more than Robin to Batman. the two of you are such a dynamic duo. And, you know, I know we have Dr. Greg, but there are so many times that I'll put in the margin real quick. I'll be like, oh, you know, I'll write down something. And it's like, oh, I wish he would say this. And then, Lisa, you do. you say it. And then, to be honest, a couple of times, you know, because I have the benefit of just sitting here listening and I'm writing and, you know, logic and emotion come together when you write. And so I'm really kind of, diagramming your whole show practically. But I can sometimes hear where a caller might be taking it on a different slant than what maybe Greg picked up on. But then, Lisa, you take it to the right place, and then every once in a while, Greg will probably start to pull you back. I'm not kidding. Sorry, Greg. But, you know, the two of you are amazing, absolutely amazing. And
you're so kind.
You are the first ones that ever taught me the words theology of the body. Uh-huh. And you say that every single show.
Yep.
And you talk about, you know, JP2 all the time. And it's just so, it's just a great, great show. But the idea about expectations, the reason I thought to call was I thought I heard, Lisa, you say something about maybe having doubts at one time as a, like, you know, homeschooler teaching.
Back when I was starting homeschooling, I did, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you guys are, you're a duo, and you're not necessarily Robin, Lisa, so.
Well, thank you very much for that, Mary Beth, and I agree with you.
Nice.
I think Lisa's the better part of the show.
Oh,
so thank you for those comments.
Thank you, and we do love being able to serve God together. It's a real gift. Oh, thanks, Eric. And I'm so glad you enjoy the show. I'm so glad you're listening all the time. Don't wear yourself out writing everything down, Mary Beth. You can listen to the podcast later so that you're not wearing yourself out. But thank you so, so much for your kind words. They're so encouraging, and we really appreciate them. And we hope that we can continue to serve you. We really do.
And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. If you want to call up and share how we're meeting your expectations, then we would love to hear that. But no, we're here to take your calls about the great expectations that you lay on yourself or that others are laying on you that you feel oppressed by and, you know, are struggling to live up to. You know, God doesn't want us to be in that position of feeling like we're always failing. You know, God's expectations for us are an invitation to greatness in grace, not a condemnation for our inability to get there on our own.
You know, I just want to share something, and Mary Beth, again, thank you for your kind words, but you really shed light on something I'd like to kind of pull out here, and that when I was starting homeschooling, and I had all these expectations, or there were so many different expectations out there of the kind of homeschooling you should do, the kind of mom you should be, and there's even more now. I think moms go through so much, whether they're homeschooling or not, because of so much social media that's preset and looks all perfect and wonderful. And I have to say that, you know, as you were saying, Mary Beth, like Greg and I work really well together, and we work really well together behind the scenes, not just, you know, in front of the mic. And I could take all of these confused expectations to him, and we could pray about things together. And I think that's a very important thing that we're talking about today in terms of when you have expectations of yourself and you feel like you're failing, take them to God and really ask him, who do you want me to be? What's your vision? If it includes other people, like mine included my children, Lord, who do you want these people to be? How can I help them be everything that you want them to be? And Greg and I did that continuously, every semester, every time I felt, you know, worried about something. And thanks be to God. I'm not bragging about this. This is all God. This is all his glory. We are so blessed that all of our children are vibrantly Catholic, and all of our children have succeeded scholastically in very good ways, in ways that are really meant to serve the Lord.
And in college and beyond.
Yeah, and I just am so grateful that we can, all of us as humans, when we have a goal or a set of expectations for ourselves. We don't have to prove ourselves to God. We have to take ourselves to God and say, what's the next step? What do you want me to do here? Because that's going to balance our desires with expectations that can get out of control and actually cause us or our loved ones harm in some way, even if it's just too much pressure. So, Mary Beth, thank you for bringing the conversation back around to that statement I made, because we really can, even when I was having, you know, real worries, a real kind of a sense of panic, if we take it to God every day and ask Him to guide us, we really can change that up and find exactly what He's wanting for us, which is always a very good thing.
Amen. So today's show is titled Great Expectations. As we talk about the struggle to meet our own or others' expectations, do you feel oppressed by the expectations you have for yourself or that others place on you? Do you tend to beat up on yourself or feel like you can never be a good enough fill in the blank, you know, parent, spouse, son or daughter, employee, whatever? Do you feel like somebody in your life is making you jump through hoops or making you feel like you'll never be enough for them no matter how hard you try? That's a terrible place to be. And God does not want any of us to feel oppressed by the expectations in our life. As I've shared already a couple of times, you know, God's expectations are an invitation to greatness and grace, not a condemnation of our inability to get there on our own. So let's work together to find grace-filled ways to respond more effectively to those expectations that we have and that others place on us. 877-573-7825. More with your calls on the other side of the break. Stick around.
I'm Jack Prasula. Please join us on Wednesday, February 5th, 6:30 p.m. at St. John's Resort for the Rosary, followed by a speech by Peter Herbeck entitled, The One Who Hopes Lives Differently. Peter is the Director of Missions for Renewal Ministries and is the host of Fire on the Earth. No registration is required. For more information, please email jack.krasula, K-R-A-S-U-L-A, at trustinus.com. Thank you. God bless.
We lived in a neighborhood for 13 years and knew few of our neighbors. Most stayed to themselves. Being very social people, this was odd for my family, but we accepted it. When we moved into a new neighborhood, we quickly got to know many neighbors. In less than a year, we knew more about our new neighbors than we ever did the old neighbors. However, there is one particular neighbor who seemed very unfriendly, but we waved to him anyway and we talked to him when possible. He's brief in his commentary, but we smile and wave. He once wrote a couple of terse post-it notes to my husband over something very silly, but we didn't allow it to change the way we treat him. We're still kind. How many of you know your neighbors? Knowing them, asking about them, is loving them. We're all called to love our neighbors, and we can communicate love of our neighbor by first getting to know them, and through our kindness, we can evangelize the faith. This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist and host of Epiphany.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. The key to being effective at handling conflict is keeping a close eye on our own emotional temperature. On a scale of 1 to 10, you never want to allow yourself to get over a 7, especially when you're in disagreement with someone. How do you know when you're getting too hot? One of the first behavioral signs that we are approaching a 7 on our emotional temperature scale is that we start to speak and act too quickly for our brain to keep up. We start to trip over our words. We make silly, avoidable mistakes like knocking over a glass that we're reaching for. When our emotional temperature gets too high, we lose track of details, which makes it harder to solve problems and often makes us do and say things that make problems even worse. To lower your stress temperature, one deceptively simple technique is to deliberately slow down. Speak a little more slowly than you want to. Or instead of thinking of all the things you have to do next, focus your mind on what you're doing now. Consciously slowing down lets your thinking brain catch up with your feeling brain, which lets your whole brain work on resolving the conflict. To learn more, check out our book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Great Expectations. We're talking about the struggle we often feel in living up to either our own expectations of ourselves or the expectations that others lay on us. And if you are feeling oppressed by those expectations you have for yourself or that others have for you, let's talk about how to have a more grace-filled relationship with those expectations so you can stop feeling like you're always failing. 877-573-7825. As we were sharing earlier in the program, you know, one area where parents feel like they might not be good enough or might even be failing is when we see our kids tantruming, melting down, being explosive in some way. Well, we've got some help for you tonight. That's Tuesday, January 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern. We are, Lisa and I are hosting a webinar titled Tempering Tantrums, where we are giving you brain-based and faith-based strategies for helping your kids learn to manage their emotions more effectively and helping you feel like a more confident, calm, effective parent, even in the face of your kids' extreme behavior. Again, that's Tempering Tantrums tonight, Tuesday, January 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. To register for our webinar this evening, go to CatholicCounselors.com/tantrums. That's CatholicCounselors.com/tantrums. Of course, we do this work every day as well on the Catholic Home app, where Lisa and I are providing coaching as well as our whole team of pastoral counselors are on there. You got lots of creative resources too, so we'd invite you, in addition to going to the webinar tonight, to become a subscribing member of the Catholic Home app. That's Catholic, H-O-M, stands for Households on Mission. Hope to see you tonight and on the Catholic Home app. With that, we are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825 about dealing gracefully with those great expectations we place on ourselves or others place on us.
Let's talk with our next caller who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri.
Hello, listener. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi. Yes, thank you so much for taking my call. Yes, I'm definitely feeling oppressed and beaten up. Expectations for me and others. I have a challenging situation, kind of complex, where I got married 3 years ago. I live in a household with a widower and his four mostly now adult children, and my in-laws. My mother-in-law passed last Easter, and my father-in-law still lives with us. We have a lot of expectations from my husband's siblings on how to help with his grieving father. I have a lot of expectations of helping preserve the past of their mother. I think one of the hardest issues is we've been dealing with infertility a lot, too. Been a real challenge. And I don't know if it's even more exaggerated in the fact that I also feel like an outsider, and if I were to get pregnant, that would not be so welcomed by, you know, the family, who would rather just me be a little bit more on the wayside than a maternal figure in their lives. So a lot of different expectations from different angles.
So what would you say, as you kind of consider all the different expectations you feel weighed down by, what would you say is sort of the biggest one? What's the message that goes through your head that says, you know, you're not enough?
I think the infertility has been extra challenging lately.
Sure, and there are lots of reasons that could be, and I'm so sorry that you're dealing with that struggle, but when you say that that's the challenge you're dealing with, is that where you feel like you're not enough somehow because you're not able to get pregnant right now?
I think so, because I feel angry at my body. We've done everything. Mm. We've done all the Napro things. There's nothing else that can be done at this point. You know, you only get older, and, you know, there's just a good, healthy scoop of hopelessness that comes along with that. We have tried adoption in the past, and that it was not looking good with our household to pass a home study, so we've paused that. Indefinitely, and that's just been—it's been really hard. It makes me feel like it's not possible for me to integrate into the family. So I think the infertility
That I'm hearing here this multi-leveled situation with the infertility, because when you say even we tried adoption, but it won't. We can't pass the home study with our household. The underlying thing, and I could be wrong, so please correct me if I am, is that you don't feel supported in this dream of becoming a mother. You don't feel supported in being a couple in your own right and having your own family. That if the family won't even come alongside of you to help make the house passable for an adoption home study, that you're just feeling very alone and very hurt by all of this. Is that right? Am I picking that up correctly?
I would definitely say yes and no. I think my husband has been absolutely supportive, but he's a little bit blindsided by the challenge of his almost mostly adult children. The youngest is 17. Everybody else is older than 18, challenged by helping them feel integrated as well. Since it does take a while to get, to merge families.
No, of course. And can I just ask specifically, what prevented you from being able to pass the home study?
We did not fail it. They pulled out and said, at the time there was a different situation with a dog that we had in the house that was biting people, so that's certainly a no-go. My mother-in-law with her Parkinson's was having outbursts that goes along with the disease and needed a lot of attention. We ended up getting hospice and home health to help offset that, that need to manage that disease. But, I was really upset when they said we're going to back off, but I also realized, you know what, that's not fair for us to take somebody else's baby into this house at this time. So I understood where they were coming from.
Okay, and last question, and then I'll offer some thoughts. Are you and your husband praying about this, and how are you praying about it?
Oh, yeah. I really am grateful for him. He has started saying a nightly rosary, for the last 5 months or so for that intention. So he's been a rock star. On that.
And you guys that's wonderful. So let me offer some other thoughts on how to pray and talk about this. Because I think that what you're doing is beautiful, and I'm so glad to hear that you feel supported by your husband. In terms of praying about this, it's so important to be kind of raw and honest with God when we're going through this kind of agonizing situation. For example, you said that you're angry at your body. I would love for you to tell God that and to be honest with him about that anger and give it to him. When I say give it to him, I don't mean so you get over it. I mean give him the anger so that he can consecrate it and help you discern what he's asking you to do in the face of that anger. To say to God, I'm so angry at the body you've given me. I'm so angry that it's not doing what it's supposed to do. I'm angry at you, Lord, for not healing me or not showing me what to do about this. I'm angry because I don't feel like I've got options and still this thing is on my heart. I want you to beat on God's chest. He's big enough and strong enough to take it. And your husband too. I want you to, I would love for you guys to sit down together and pray like I'm suggesting here. To be really honest about your feelings about yourself, about the relationship, about God, about the family, about your circumstances, and just say, I'm giving all this to you and asking you to teach me how to respond to it. Don't just give it to him, because when we say that, we think that what we mean is we're supposed to just not feel bad about it anymore. But often God is speaking to us through those feelings, just like he spoke to you through that initial home study, you know, right, where it was disappointing to get the result that you got, but it enabled you to start making some changes to create a more peaceful and safe, less chaos, for, you know, more chaos-free household. And that's, you know, that's a good thing. But in the same way, when we say, so for example, I'll say to God, you know, I'm so frustrated right now. I'm so disappointed right now. I just want you to take that and do something with it, Lord. Show me how to respond to it. You know, I'm giving you these feelings, you know, and if you can take them away, great. But if there's something you can help me do with them, or make out of them, I'm asking you to show me how to do that. And I want you to really go forward, knowing that if God has placed something on your heart, he has a way of fulfilling it. You give it to him and say, Lord, I'm giving you this desire for a child. I have no idea how to meet it, and every way I've tried has been blocked. And I'm so angry, I'm so upset. And so I ask you to take this desire away from me if it's not from you. But then if he doesn't take it away, if it still stays there after you're praying about that, you know, it's not that you're clinging to it too desperately. It's that he wants that to be on your heart, and he has a way in his mind to help you meet that need, to help you meet that desire, that longing. I promise you it's true, because God doesn't set us up, right? If we give him our desire and he takes it away, then he's delivered us from that sense of oppression. But if we give him that desire and it remains, he's saying through that feeling in your body, I still have a plan for you. I still have a plan for this. Walk with me. Let me show you the things that need to be done or the changes that need to be made to help get you to where I want you to be. Right? And keep praying that prayer until an answer becomes clear to you. And don't give up thinking that, okay, somehow I have to, I just have to, you know, give this up on my own power. You know, God wants, if he doesn't take it away when you ask him to take it away, he has a plan for fulfilling that deep ache in your heart.
And you have to, you know, take it to him over and over and over again and walk those steps.
Not because he's, I apologize, that. Not because he's not hearing you.
Right, right.
But because,
I'm glad you
because
said that.
We don't know how to hear him, especially in the face of that pain and agony that we feel in these kinds of situations. And we have to keep bringing it to him so that we can learn to open up our hearts to what he's trying to say.
And to find out what the next steps are, because God very rarely downloads the entire picture in 2 seconds flat to us. It takes walking those baby steps one step at a time while we hold on to God's hands, even, and he'll hold on to our hands even though we're telling him we're angry at him. The other thing I really want to encourage you to do is I'm hearing about so much loss in your husband's family's life. You know, you're saying he's a widower, so these adult kids lost their mom. Now they've lost their grandma. Things aren't integrating as well as you want them to in the family, and you're dealing with real grief over not being able to have another child at this point. Family counseling can really help you guys work through this in a safe and directed way, in a way that helps everybody address their grief, their fear of more loss. All of those things can really be helped and bring you guys closer together in ways that you didn't expect. So I would encourage that if they're open to it at all.
Yeah, and if you'd like to, we do this kind of work through CatholicCounselors.com, where we can help you find faithful ways to respond to this challenge and be a more effective blended family. But, you know, my heart does break for you. I understand the pain that you're in, and, you know, I work with couples who are dealing with this all the time. I'm so glad you and your husband are in it together and praying through it right now. And I would encourage you to keep up the rosary, of course. But the rosary is a way we listen to God. And sometimes we are trying to listen when we haven't asked the question. And so that's why I'm suggesting that even before you pray the rosary to reflect and listen on what God might be saying to you, to pray, Lord, you know, I don't know what to do with this feeling. I don't know what to do with this anger, with this frustration, with the bitterness, the confusion. I'm giving it to you, and I'm asking you to help me make something out of it. And I'm asking, and if you don't take this desire away, then I'm going to assume that you have a plan for fulfilling it. So show me what that plan is step by step. And, you know, Lisa mentioned that, you know, God doesn't show us the whole plan all at once, which really kind of feels cruel when we're going through it.
It's very frustrating.
But God's not being cruel. God uses the desires of our heart to help us draw closer to Him. And so as He reveals one step at a time, because He wants us to invite Him into the situation step by step and use that circumstance to grow closer to Him. Right? So He only shows us a part at a time because, not because He wants to keep things from us, but because He wants to give all of Himself to us. So I just want to encourage you in praying about this and thinking about this and really listening to what He's saying to you through the circumstances of your life and through this prayer, so that you can hear what you need to do to identify those next steps toward fulfilling that longing of your heart. I also talk about this in my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, Dealing with Disappointment in the Light of Faith. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com, and it's about discernment and how to discover what God is calling you to when our own plans aren't working out. So again, that's The Life God Wants You to Have, Dealing with Disappointment in the Light of Faith. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. Thanks again for the call. We've added you guys to our More to Life prayer list, and if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or at CatholicCounselors.com. With that, it's time for our break and time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Galatians chapter 1, verse 10.
Am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? If I were still trying to please man, I could not be a servant of Christ.
An important verse to remember when we're facing those expectations, you know, when we're trying to appease the critic inside of our own head, mm-hmm. you know, we're trying to please man. We're not worried about God. We're worried about, am I going to live up to this standard that somebody programmed into my brain? When I'm jumping through hoops to get somebody to approve of me, or to say that they love me, and I'm wearing myself out and feeling oppressed by those expectations, we're not serving God. We're serving that person. It's important to remember that we are beloved sons and daughters of God. And yes, He has great expectations for us, but those expectations are invitations to grow and become great in grace. They are not condemnations that make us feel oppressed and less than. And anybody who makes you feel that way, including that critic in your head, is not of God. 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Great Expectations, as we talk about the struggle to meet our own or others' expectations and that sense of feeling oppressed or not good enough. Let's talk about how to find grace-filled ways to respond to that challenge at 877-573-7825.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. In the Bread of Life discourse, documented in John chapter 6, Jesus states that He is the bread of life, and that His flesh is true food and His blood true drink. The Jews were scandalized in verse 52. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus does not back down, but reiterates this teaching four more times over the next four verses. Many left in verse 66 because this teaching was truly difficult. But at no point does Jesus water down His teaching and call them back. No, He allows them to leave, and even questions His 12 apostles if they too wish to leave. Jesus intended to be understood literally, and the Jews, apostles, and the Catholic Church absolutely take Him at His word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Italy aficionado Teresa Tomio's newest book is coming soon to the Ave Maria online store. In Italy's Shrines and Wonders, Teresa Tomio provides how best to navigate the most popular sites, best routes, and how to best soak in all the beauty Italy has to offer. She also shares the most inspiring journeys to make your Italy excursion utterly unforgettable. Shrines and Wonders from Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomio, will be found soon at AveMariaRadio.net.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. We're talking about the feeling oppressed by our own or others' expectations. Let's talk about graceful ways to respond to that challenge.
Let's talk now with Natalie, who's listening to EWTN in Georgia on The Quest.
Hi, Natalie. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Yes, hi. My question is how to manage those expectations when you have a false sense of security. I tend to overplan things to meet a goal, and then I can't meet those demands. Or I am, for example, looking for a job. I look for qualifications, and then suddenly I'm like, are you really prepared for that? And then I start questioning things. So I guess because of my expectations and I have a false sense of security, I don't know how to manage that.
When you say false, you said that twice now, a false sense of security. What does that mean to you?
Well, I guess, for example, you're taking an exam, you feel like you're going to ace that exam, and then once you come out, it's like, no, you just failed completely, or it wasn't the grade that you were expecting. So you go into situations thinking that everything is going to work out, and you got this, but the result is totally opposite. So now I feel insecure of different things. And
okay.
Then I have expectations for things, and then I'm thinking, well, am I overthinking things, or am I having too much pressure on me? Or, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. That helps to clarify some things. It sounds like the problem you're getting into is that the expectation is that you should be able to control the outcome, right? That you should be able to get the answer you're looking for or get the result you're looking for every time. And so what I'd like you to focus on is the realization that we can't control the outcome, but we can control the process, right? So, for instance, to use that test metaphor that you used, I can't control what grade I get on the test, but I can control how I study, how I prepare, what I do to get my head in a good space to take that test. And if I don't end up not doing well on the test, I can look and say, how do I need to refine my process so that next time I can probably do better. Again, not that I can control the outcome, but I can say, okay, well, this is the kind of thing I needed to study. I needed to look more at my notebook than at the book, itself. Or I need to study this kind of information as opposed to that. I can work on my process.
And also you can take into account what the professor's test system seems like. So I know very often students will take the first test of a semester and then they have all this information. Oh, okay, well, I studied this way, but they ask questions that way. This time I'll know.
Same thing applies to the idea of searching for a job. You can't control whether you get the job or not, but you can focus on what is your process and how can you continue to improve that process.
And how you're saying that when you look at the qualifications, you're saying, well, I'm not sure I have them, and you get in your own way. So there's a way of speaking about this that says, well, if, you know, we always say, well, what if I don't have the qualifications? What if I don't pass, you know, the next test too? What if I, having the backup of, instead of what if, it's even if I didn't get a great grade on this test, I now have more information so I can study differently on the next test. Even if I don't have every qualification for this job, I have some and I can proceed to get more qualifications as I go through it, or talk to the interviewer about how we can get me more of those qualifications on the job when I'm hired. So you have this, even if this doesn't go perfectly right, you know, you said have these big projects. You can say, well, even if I didn't complete this whole project by this date that I wanted to, I've gotten all of these steps done, and I can give myself the leeway to walk the next steps so that I can complete it.
So
this idea of even if instead of what if can really change our mindset on this.
And the more you're doing that, the more you're taking control of your process, which then helps you feel more confident moving forward. So I want you to try your best to shift that focus off of the outcome and more on that process and the idea that Lisa was talking about, instead of giving into what if this doesn't work. Even if this doesn't work, how would I respond to it? Thank you so much for the call, Natalie. I encourage you to check out our book, The Life God Wants You to Have, which is all about dealing with disappointment in the light of faith. And if you'd like more support in having that more proactive mindset, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. It goes for you listeners as well. If you are feeling the oppression of unhealthy expectations, CatholicCounselors.com, we can help you find graceful ways to respond. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.